All right, so last week I started answering the questions, really just kind of two questions. Who is the Holy Spirit? And why do I need the Holy Spirit in my life? And there was really kind of a couple reasons why I wanted to cover that topic. I mean, the first one is, remember, it was probably about, maybe about 2 months ago, I did a sermon series on evangelism. And one of the sermons was actually on the role of the Holy Spirit in evangelism. I mean, you guys remember that. All right, so the three of you, okay, that's good. I just want to be sure. But honestly, that service was an eye-opener to me. You know why? It's because I took for granted that most of the people here understood who the Holy Spirit was. I really did. I kind of took that for granted. And it was just my understanding that most of the people here, they were already filled with the Holy Spirit, that they had that already in their life. And that, matter of fact, they were already baptized in the Holy Spirit. They understood what that meant. And the truth is, I learned after the service that not everybody could answer yes to all those questions, that they knew all that. Because I remember after the service, I guess you'd call it an altar call or whatever you want to call it. But basically, I asked if there were people who wanted to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit to come forward. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I expected like one or two, because like I said, I expected that most of the people here already understood. They already knew it. They already had it. And then when I saw like 10 to 15 people come on up, I was shocked. I mean, it was cool. I mean, I was pumped. I was excited. And we just started praying for people and we saw God move. Different people received their heavenly language. It was fun. There was other people who left here just hungry for more of God. And that's what it should be like in church. You should be hungry for those kind of things. But what it did is it showed me that there was some teaching elements potentially that was missing that people needed to know. I mean, but people left here different. I mean, you heard Kathleen's testimony last week. Lives were changed. And that's what church is about, right? Transformed lives. But then another thing that a reason why I wanted to do kind of a couple sermons on the Holy Spirit was next week wasn't actually supposed to be an outreach Sunday. What it was supposed to be was an outdoor baptismal service. But we only had about three or four people, and some of them weren't even going to be able to be there at that service that were ready to be baptized. And that made me realize is that we haven't had many new births this year. That's not good. You do understand, because our job as followers of Christ is to go to our friends and family, show ourselves as different, right? We want people to notice that there's something different about us that they want. And then they ask us questions like, well, why are you different? Because you behave or you act or you don't react to things like I do. So what's different? We then share our testimony, and we basically say, trust me, it's not me. It's Jesus in me that's made me different. And they're like, well, I want that. Those are the people that you want to water baptize, right? Those are the people that say, you know, hey, I want to surrender and give everything to Jesus. Well, we just didn't have that many this past year. So how do we change that? Well, you need the power of the Holy Spirit to be His witness. We read that last week, right? That was Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So either we have a lack of power because there's a lack of teaching on what the Holy Spirit is and how He moves in us and through us, or it's not a lack of teaching, but it's a lack of willingness to use the power that God has given us. It's just going to be one of the two, right? So it's either a lack of knowledge or it's a lack of passion and desire. It's a lack of action. So the more that I kind of thought about those two things, it's, you know, I want to at least eliminate my part. My job is to teach you, right? Pastor's job is to equip people to do the work of the ministry. So that's why last Sunday I taught about the Holy Spirit. And look, I may have just mentioned some things about the Holy Spirit just right there that some of you are like, I have no idea, Pastor, what you just said. You threw around a couple terms that, I mean, maybe if I had been in the church for a while, I would have understood, but I haven't, and I didn't understand what you were saying. That's all right. I'm going to continue to talk about, I guess you'd say, my journey of faith in regards to the Holy Spirit. And as I've been doing that, and like I said, if you weren't here last week, get the sermon. We have CDs, or you can just download it from the website and listen to that other part as well. But what I want to do is, I want us to understand that if we don't understand the role that the Holy Spirit has in our life, and He has many different roles, it will not give us what we need in order to give the world what they need, because they need Jesus, right? And that's our job. Jesus gave us that job. We see that in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, right? Matthew 28, 19, 20. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So we need to make sure that we have the power necessary to accomplish this. Now, to some of you, this you may say, Pastor, I know this. Well, good. Then let me reinforce it in you so you then can be a teacher and a help to those who don't. And for those of you who this is new to you, ingest this. Because I'm not going to be able to give you everything you need in two sermons. I'm not. All right, so I'll pick up where I started off from last week. Last week, I kind of ended basically in high school that when it came to my church experiences with the Holy Spirit. My next church experience actually happened when I went to college. And I was blessed. I'm not going to lie to you. I went to Oral Roberts University, and not only was the Holy Spirit taught there, but that relationship was encouraged when I was there. But you know what was interesting about that college experience when I looked back? That was the first time I ever was in around a lot of Christians where some of them did not speak in tongues, where they did not have the Holy Spirit inside them from and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. That was strange to me. I grew up when I was younger and through all high school, every church that I went to, they believed in that. And people received that baptism. And to me, that was just normal. So this was the first time that I actually were around other Christians that did not believe that. It was actually interesting because at that school, we had a, you know, general ed in college, it's required courses that everyone, no matter what your major is, you have to take. Well, one of them was on the Holy Spirit. And it was interesting because it literally took almost all the different denominations of Christianity and it marched you through what their beliefs were in the Holy Spirit. And some of them were very different than mine. Now, some people may have found that very challenging because some people, have you noticed, they don't want to be taught something that they don't believe. Have you noticed that? That, you know, and matter of fact, we get in trouble with the world, don't we? Because we want to tell them everything. And then when they want to kind of tell us what they believe, we're like, I don't want to hear that, but I'll tell you what you need to hear. The world doesn't like that, do they? Matter of fact, that's a quick way to remove your ability to actually be a light to them. It's to say, I don't want to hear what you've got to say. You just listen to what I got to say. So, but I actually found it really interesting because I got to understand that A, I don't know everything. And B, there are other people of like mind and like faith that have different beliefs than me. And you know what? We're both going to heaven. And that was pretty cool. So it was kind of a unique experience to me. But what was really cool about going to ORU was this was the first time I was really introduced to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, see, I had been in church before, and growing up, I'd watched prophecy. Have you ever seen someone prophesied over where someone feels like they have a word from God for them and they speak it out? See, I grew up in a church where that was just normal. I mean, you normally had that almost every Sunday. It happened and people were blessed. It was cool. And so I had seen all those things, but at ORU, that was the first time that God used me in it. So that was kind of a game changer to me. See, I watched other people do it, but at ORU, I got to practice it. I got to do it. God used me in prophecy. I remember being in my dorm, and we were having like little mini chapel, you know, services with just the guys on my wing. There's about 32 guys. We would come together. We'd kind of have our little mini chapel service for the week, and God moved. And it was like I said, it was considered normal. It was just, and you were allowed to make mistakes. You kind of practiced it because we weren't perfect, but we just allowed the power of the Holy Spirit to move, and it was cool. And there, matter of fact, it talks about these gifts in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let me read you kind of a portion of scripture that talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So starting in verse 4, it says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to the other the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit." I love the way it keeps saying the same Spirit. You like that? You know, "to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills." Now, let me kind of point out a few things. Number one, the ability to do them comes from God, not us. Has nothing to do with you at all. It comes from God. Matter of fact, I kept saying, from the same Spirit, from the same Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit who decides who gets that ability and which gift. He apportions it to them as he wills, right? But I like how he says, for the common good. You know what that means? It means it's not just for you. It's, as a matter of fact, it's meant for the body. And so you know what that means? When you have the gift inside of you and you don't use it, you're not just robbing yourself, but you're actually robbing the body, because God has given them for you, for everyone. Now, I'm not going to go into an explanation of each one of the gifts. Honestly, those are sermons for me to go into that. So look, this is an opportunity for you to jump in for some personal study on your own. Dive into the Word. Now, you may have come up with questions. "Pastor, what are these gifts?" Call me. Shoot me an email. There are great books that have been written by people much smarter than me that really explain these and explain them well. But see, God used me at ORU and showed me that we all do have gifts, and the Holy Spirit wants us to use them. Matter of fact, all he's really looking for is obedience on our part to be willing to step out and use them. See, it's interesting, though, that when God used me in prophecy, I can tell you this. I did not get a dream or a vision that showed me exactly what to say. I'm not saying that doesn't happen, because some people get those. I didn't. I didn't have a voice in my head where I was repeating what the voice said. You know what I'm saying? It's not like I heard, you know, Chris say this. I didn't hear that, and I repeated. That didn't happen to me. I'm not saying that doesn't happen with some. That was not my experience. This is what happened. I kind of felt inside me that God had something for me to share to someone. I did. Matter of fact, and when I thought about, all right, well, what am I sharing? And when I really felt what I knew that God wanted me to share, I immediately in my mind said, all right, does that line up with the Word of God? Because I'm not going to say anything that, you know, goes against the Word of God. So that's why you have to have the Word of God in us, you know, to make sure that what we're doing is right. So, all right, it lined up with the Word of God. It's not going to hurt the person, because prophecy isn't meant to hurt anyone. It's to comfort, edify, uplift. And so I then felt, and it's kind of hard to describe, I felt an urgency to do it. And like I said, I don't know exactly how to explain that. All I knew was that God put something in me. I knew what it was, and I had to say it. And so I almost felt, I don't know if it's a nervousness, but something inside me that just said, Chris, do this now. And the interesting thing is after I did it, I almost felt like a release. Like, whoa, that was cool. I almost felt like a peace inside me. Now, will God do the exact same thing in you? I don't know. Maybe. Ask other people who move in those gifts and see what God does in them. Because the interesting thing is God uses us all in different ways. But I've done that. I actually will ask different people who move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and ask them, well, how'd you do that? You know, what was it like? How has God used you? I surround myself with people who flow in the gifts. You know, that's why when like Pastor Bill Johnson and other people come to our church, that's why on Saturdays, I set up times on Saturday where they teach us, where they give us time to practice, where they're praying over us saying, God, release your power in them. Because you know what? I want God to use me. Why? Because I want to reach the world. There are people who need Jesus, and if I'm not willing to do it myself, they'll die. Or they'll be dependent on someone else. And if it's my job, then that means someone else is doing double duty. And I don't want to do that. So, it's interesting, though, but all the churches that I attended while I was at ORU, we were allowed to kind of pick our own church. I just tended to go to the churches that flowed in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because that was what I grew up with. That was normal. But the interesting thing is I still didn't see the Holy Spirit as a person. Just being honest, I really saw the Holy Spirit as something that you received as a gift, you kind of carried with you and used as you needed. I didn't really see it as a personal relationship that still hadn't grown in me yet. Now, my first power experience, and I'll explain what I mean by that. My first power experience with the Holy Spirit came after I graduated from college. There was a church that I started attending my sophomore year, and I stayed there. I loved the church. I loved the pastors. I just really felt God call me there. So I stayed. When I graduated, those pastors, they went to a revival that's happening in Toronto, Canada. And they came back, and they were just different. I don't know, they came back different. Something happened to them, and you could tell immediately, because like I said, I'd known these pastors now for about 4 or 5 years. They were different. And I have to admit, I was a little skeptical at first because I saw some things happening in the service that were a little different to me. Now, I know the Bible talks about, people, with laughing and even sometimes moaning or shaking or falling. And I even observed some of that growing up. I saw the power of the Holy Spirit come, but it was always kind of like one person here or one person here. This was different. It was not small. It was big. It was powerful. And it wasn't just impacting like a few people. It was impacting like almost everyone. And the best way I can describe it is it talks about it in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, the reason why I was a little hesitant, though, because as I talked about last week, I saw some abuse when it came to the Holy Spirit. I saw some things that in my mind that just didn't line up with what the Bible said. I saw some things that just made me a little wondering what's really going on here. I didn't want to, but this was different. And I don't know the best way to explain it. It's just that when the power of the Holy Spirit came, it hit everyone. And look, no one was pushing anyone over. When the power came, people were just falling and collapsing. Now, like I said, this wasn't a church that I hadn't been in. I had been there for years. I knew the people here. I knew the people that God was touching. These were not like flaky, fake people. These were my good friends that I knew, and God came. I saw the power hit people, and they came up with just testimonies of physical, emotional, marital, relational, financial miracles that were happening. They were. You cannot deny them. You couldn't look at it and say, well, no, you're faking that. They're healed. Their marriage was restored. They now had breakthrough when they had mental issues, but now they were able to do things that they weren't able to do before. It's not like you could just say, no, you're faking that. You saw the power of God move. And so, it's interesting. When you see that happening, I don't know about you, but You get hungry for that. You want that. You want God to move in your life. So, you know, I almost equate it because we just went to the beach like about a week ago. And I remember, you know, me, I don't like the beach that much. So I just kind of like dip my toe in the water a little bit. And that's about all I want. See, I didn't just dip my toe in this. And my wife, she's brave. So she'll go up to about her waist. You know, so she kind of waded in. But she doesn't want to get any higher than that, you know. See, I did what I expected anyone to do when they see the power of God move. I did what my boys did. So they kind of backed up a little bit. And then they just ran with everything they had and they just jumped in and right into it. That's what I did. So you know what? Every service, when they said, who wants this? I was up there getting prayed for because I wasn't satisfied until I had everything. And then they would have times of worship, and I loved it, and we've done it sometimes here. They'd had times of worship where they offered communion, where we'd come up, and they'd give you communion during worship, and then they'd pray for you. And I would watch people go up for communion, and they never got back to their chairs. They just, and the communion people would have to move over a little bit more, and then they'd serve, and they'd have to move over a little bit more, and they serve, because there were people lying all over the place just under the power of the Holy Spirit. And that was just, like I said, if there were people you didn't know, you'd question, like, oh, they're, you know, what's going on here? These are my friends. These are people that I knew. These are the people that I went to college with. These are the people that I lived life with. And it was just cool seeing God move like that. So, matter of fact, one of my favorite things to do, I know I'm going to run out of time this morning, just because I love talking about these experiences. Some of the things that I love doing is, as soon as, you know, I dove in kind of with everything I had, I wanted as much as I could. So I immediately joined the prayer team. I had to be on the prayer team. I wanted to be on it. And I didn't even really feel that the Holy Spirit could do anything in me. I just wanted to be around other people, you know what I mean, that were moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. I just wanted to be around it. I thought maybe if I'm around them, you know, I'll get some on me. You know, just, you know, kind of hug you a little bit and maybe rub it on me. And so, yeah, and you know what my favorite times were? I loved just being one of the ushers that would kind of, because they would line people up. And my pastors would come up and they wouldn't even touch them. They literally would just say, power, come. Holy Spirit, more. And they would just collapse. And so you literally would have to have catchers there because it's hard floors. So you wanted... You don't want anyone to get hurt. And so I used to love, and since I knew my pastors well, they just let me follow them around. And I did. And I would watch the Holy Spirit do miracles inside of people that I knew I couldn't do. We would have guest ministry that would come from different parts of the country as different revivals would break out. And I got to be their catcher. I just favor from God. And I just used to watch and see God just transform people. But that was my norm. That was the normal church experience for me. And it changed me. But I'm telling you, I saw the Holy Spirit as not something as an object. I saw him as a person, someone who wanted to move in power, wanted to change and transform lives. But I'm telling you, it showed me a difference in the Holy Spirit that he didn't want to do anything that stopped the Holy Spirit. You didn't want to do any. Remember last week when I talked about that prayer of David after he got caught with Bathsheba? And he said a prayer. Matter of fact, we'll read that in Psalms 51, 10 and 11. This is just a snippet of it. Psalms 51, 10 and 11. It says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. I'm telling you, that became real. You did not want to do anything that stopped the power of the Holy Spirit from moving. You didn't want to get in his way because you saw what he did when he was there and it was alive and it was I'm telling you, it put inside you a pursuit of holiness. You did not mess around during the week. You avoided even the appearance of evil because you didn't want to miss out on what the Holy Spirit was going to do. I mean, I'm not saying, it put holy fear in you, I guess is the best way of putting it. It reminds me of the scripture in Ephesians chapter 4. I know I'm throwing some verses at you. Write them down. I mean, I know they're behind me. Write them down. I know I'm going fast. Ephesians 4, 29 through 32, it says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. You didn't want to do anything to stop the Holy Spirit from moving in you and through you, and because you could potentially be robbing someone of getting what they needed that day from the Holy Spirit. And you were just, you were careful. I mean, matter of fact, you, and this is something that really made me, and that's why you hear me preach all the time about relationships. You wanted, I spent as much time around people that I could that would build me up, that would hold me accountable, that would make sure that I would not be doing dumb things. So when I talk about small groups and relationships and you can't live life alone, the reason why I do that is because I saw those who didn't and they fell hard. But God developed so many awesome, powerful relationships in my life while I was there. They held me accountable. When I was messing around, they're like, Chris, what are you doing? Stop doing that. Get back to church. Do your thing. You had that support system around you that held you there. And it was strong, and we needed it. Then I got married. I moved. I changed jobs, and I had kids. I actually got to see a different side of the Holy Spirit when that happened. It was interesting. See, I understood the power because I'd been there, I'd watched it, I'd seen the miracles. I knew that my faith had been stretched to the point where I could believe that God was who he said he was, and I could pray with authority and conviction and just trust that he was gonna answer my prayer. But see, the older I got and the more responsibilities I had, I learned that I wasn't always looking for a miracle in my life. Sometimes I was just looking for direction. I was a new husband. I was a new father. New job, new everything. I mean, sometimes I wasn't asking God to heal someone from cancer. I was asking God just to give me simple direction because I came up to a family issue that I'd never dealt with before, and I didn't know what to do. Sometimes I wasn't asking for like a financial miracle. I was just asking God, it's just simple stuff. Like, well, God, should I buy this car or that car? Because we need a car. Sometimes it was, God, you know, should I take that promotion or should I not and maybe go this way at work? Sometimes it was, you know, like I said, simple things. Like, should I allow my son to play in that sport or play that instrument or should I be involved in that social organization? I mean, not like huge things, but important things. I mean, some of them were really big things that I went to with God. Some of them were kind of medium stuff. But most of the time, most of my decisions were smaller. But each one of them had the ability to impact my relationship with God based on the decision that I made. And look, I saw that. It's here. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. Like I said, I'm trying to show you the different roles, not only in my life, but in the Bible as well, so you'll have the benefit of both. It says, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. You know, let me point out a couple things. On my own, what this is saying is I got no shot figuring out what God wants for me. I got none. On my own, the fleshy Chris Mallett, no shot. But what this is saying is there is something inside of me that does know. Not only does he know, he wants me to know because he wants me to be effective in the world today. And that's living inside of me. You know what I've learned is that the more that I try to do things on my own without consulting God, they don't work. And not only do they not work, I then end up having to deal with the consequences and the messes of those decisions. Look, and it wasn't like I was making a lot of illogical decisions. Have you noticed sometimes, you know, you just kind of do things on your own, and it's not like you're dumb. I mean, honestly, by earthly standards, I'm a pretty smart dude. I'm not even bragging. I graduated top of my class at college. I did. I got a great job out of school. I married a beautiful wife who, honestly, she's smarter than me. It bugs me, but it's true. Look, she was teacher of the year at ORU. That's what she graduated as, and her GPA was higher than mine. It still bugs me, but it was. It was even higher than mine was. So it wasn't like we were, you know, making these really dumb decisions. We just weren't bringing in those decisions to the smartest guy available. See, we would bring the big stuff, right? But in the medium, once in a while. But the small stuff, we don't really need God for that. We just kind of did what seemed right. We did what seemed logical. And we were then wondering, why are we having to deal with all these mistakes? It's because we didn't ask God. See, God knows the exact right steps for us to take. Our human logic can't understand it. Remember, the Bible says we can understand it, but there is someone inside us who does. You know, the interesting thing is, as a pastor, I see more marriages, relationships, business deals. I see more of them fail, not because of one big bad decision, but from lots and lots of small ones. Seriously. Most marriages and those kind of relationships can handle one big one because you're like, I messed up. That was bad. You know, we changed. Let's fix this. I've learned it's the small ones, lots and lots and lots and lots of them, and we don't go to God for any of those decisions, and then we wonder why our things are destroyed. I'm running out of time. All right. Interesting. As I continue to grow, I also saw the Holy Spirit kind of take a different role in my life as I moved to Connecticut. See, I learned that he was my comforter. You see, getting married, moving to Connecticut, moving away from my incredible support system. When we moved to Connecticut, we had no friends. Matter of fact, where my job was, we weren't even close to my parents. We were by ourselves. We had to find a new church. We loved our church. That was our family, and we had to move completely away from that. We had to start from scratch. And then, to add just on top of it, my wife is now pregnant, and we've only been married for 6 months. And so we're completely separate from anyone and everything. And to be honest, it was tough on us. Our first couple years of marriage were not easy. But that's why we have Romans 8, 26 through 28. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And see, the next verse we all love and cherish, and we say it all the time, right? And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. See, we have the Holy Spirit inside us who understands our weakness and is there for us. I love the word intercedes. You know what intercedes means? It means it's there ready to provide aid. And you know what? So some people ask me, you know, Pastor, why do you speak in tongues? Why do you have a spiritual language? Why? Because sometimes I don't know how to pray. I have no idea what's going wrong in my life or in someone else's life. And you know what? I just feel the need that I need to pray for them. So you know what I do? I start using my prayer language and I start praying for them. Because you know what? There's a Holy Spirit inside me that intercedes for other people, that goes on their behalf. And he knows exactly what the problem is. He knows exactly what needs to be done, and I don't. And you know what? I don't need to know. I don't need to know. All I need to know is that I have a issue in my life, or my family or friend does, and they need God. And so, you know what? I tend to speak in tongues a lot when I'm just alone and God says, move, or God says, pray for that person. And he does. He does things that are just, nothing makes me happier than when someone says to me, you know, not believe the miracle that happened in my life. I said, no, tell me. Because I know I've been praying for you and I didn't even know what to pray for, but God did something. And it wasn't me and it wasn't them. It was the Holy Spirit inside them. And what's cool is it's inside it. It's available at all times. Anytime you need it, he's there. I knew covering the Holy Spirit in two services, that would be impossible. Remember, I haven't even covered the fruit of the Spirit. So write down Galatians 5. I don't have time. Write down Galatians 5. Spend some time into it. Because let's be honest. When the Holy Spirit is inside you, if all you can say is, well, I speak in other tongues, but you have no character, no fruit of the Spirit, if you don't have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, if you don't have that inside you, you know what? I kind of question whether the Holy Spirit is inside you. Because you know what? If all you say is, you know, well, I got the power, yeah, but I don't care if you've got the power, if you're hurting everyone, if you're not loving, if you're not joyful, you know what? Because no one's going to want to be around you. So I almost don't want you to walk around telling people that you have the power of God in you if you don't have the fruit of the Spirit inside you. I'll probably have to do a sermon on that series on that. The problem is there's 9 of them. So that's a pretty long sermon series. And I haven't even covered the Holy Spirit's role to continually prune us and shape us. That's what the Holy Spirit's job is. You do understand that, right? The Holy Spirit will lead you through certain things in life, and they're not for your comfort. It's for your fruitfulness. How do you get a fruit tree to you know, basically bear more fruit? You prune it. Now, the interesting thing with pruning is you obviously, and the easy part is you trim off the dead stuff, right? You trim off the dead, the broken, the diseased. You do that. But you know what I've learned with pruning? You don't just prune all the bad stuff. You actually prune healthy stuff. So sometimes the Holy Spirit will prune things off you that you don't want to let go of. And in your mind, that's healthy. That's a good relationship. That's a good job. That's a good... But see, you've submitted yourself to the Holy Spirit, right? And you said, I serve you. I will do as you command. See, I don't even have time for that. I mean, what is God teaching me now? In regards to the Holy Spirit, I'll give you a snapshot of what God's teaching me now. I'm just hungrier for a deeper relationship. I just want more. Part of me wants to begin to believe again for what I used to see inside the church. I used to see the power move often. I don't see that much anymore. Why? I don't know. I don't know if it's a lack of teaching. I don't know if it's a lack of holiness where we don't allow the Holy Spirit freedom to do. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but I can tell you this. I'm hungry for it, and I'm not going to be satisfied until I get it. Because look, I need the Holy Spirit inside me speaking. Why? Because, like I said before, I'm a husband, I'm a father, and I need the Holy Spirit in those areas of my life. But you know what? As a pastor, I need to be sure that I'm hearing from God clearly because I need to be preaching what the church needs to hear when it comes to food, right? And look, I need to be sure that I'm hearing the right direction for FCA, so we're doing the right outreaches. We're approaching our community the way that God wants us to do. So I need the Holy Spirit inside me speaking clearly in order for that to happen. Look, and truth be told, I need to be so close to the heartbeat of God so when people see me, they really just see Jesus. Because that's what transforms people. I can't do it. I can't heal. I can't save. I can't forgive. I can't do any of that. But Jesus inside me can. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the power to be his witnesses. And you know what? That's not something that just happens. You don't get that relationship on a weekly basis. You can't just go to church on a Sunday morning, get as much as you can from God, and expect to have that relationship. You can't. You know what I'm even learning? It's not even just a daily relationship. You can't just have like I give God a 15-minute devotions and I spend this much time in prayer and maybe we even spend some time in worship. You know, I have this chunk for this and I do that on a daily basis. You know what I'm learning? That's still not enough. It's a moment-by-moment relationship with God where you are saying, God is my all. God is everything. I pray without ceasing. I'm always talking with him. I'm always on the lookout for what God wants me to do. If God's pointing me over here, that's where I'm going. And you know what? If God says, no, don't go there, then I'm not going there. And I'm not even going to bother questioning it because I'll waste time if I question it. And it's a moment-by-moment lifestyle where God is your highest priority in everything. And that's just scratching the surface because the Holy Spirit is a person. It's a relationship. It's you walking arm in arm with him, doing whatever he tells you to do in obedience. And that's what I want. That's what I want. And you, like this may even sound corny. And you know what? If you think I'm corny, that's all right. I want my relationship with the Holy Spirit to the point where I've started now waking up and I say, good morning, Holy Spirit. I want to be your servant today. You tell me what you want me to do. That's a change because you know what it used to be? It used to be me waking up saying, good morning, God. Now, God, I'm going to be doing this, 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 and this today. So could you bless these things? And I know these other troubles are coming my way. So could you heal these things? And can you fix these things? And almost like a huddle, ready, break. And then I'd go off on my day. And I would wonder why I'm not able to accomplish what God wanted me to accomplish that day. I'd end up feeling really tired and drained by the end of the day. And I'm like, man, I didn't get anything done of all the stuff that I wanted to get done. I didn't get anything done. Because you know what? It's not about me. I'm trying to get to the point where I wake up and it's, God, what do you want? Holy Spirit, open my eyes to see. Now, look, I'm not saying, all right, just wake up and float around. Look. God gave you a brain, use it. And if you have a job to go to, if you have plans, start doing it. But you got to be open to the Holy Spirit to say, eat with that person at lunch. Stop and take 5 minutes. I know you think you're late for a meeting, but talk to that person because they need to hear. And that person, no, let them go in front of you. I know you're racing to get to that line, but let them go because they actually need to go some. It's just being open and aware that God has assignments for you all the time. It's you just being willing to say, you know what? Something inside me says you're sad today. Can I pray for you? Really? You're going to pray for me? Why would you do that? Well, because sometimes I believe that we need prayer and I serve Jesus and I love it when people pray for me in times of need. So can I do that for you? What's your name, by the way? Oh, it's Sue. Okay, Sue. What's that area of need? And just watching the Holy Spirit just do things in people's lives because we're willing to slow down and not be so I'm agenda, but Jesus agenda. Let the Holy Spirit guide that. And so you know what? When I go to bed at night and I close my eyes on the pillow, what I'm trying to say is not, woo, God, we did a, it's Holy Spirit, thank you for guiding me today. Thank you for directing my path. Thank you for loving and trusting me enough for assignments. And Holy Spirit, help me to do even better tomorrow. I'll see you when I wake up. That's different than how I used to live my life. And I didn't think I was a bad guy. I really didn't. I didn't think that, you know, I was really screwed up. I loved God. I loved everything that was inside me. And I wanted to follow him wherever he called me. It just, God changed it a little bit and said, you know what? Don't just be a guy who checks off all the check boxes. Went to church, read my Bible, did my praying, worshiped, smiled at my wife, didn't yell at the kids, I didn't get fired today, and I picked up my clothes from the bathroom. I mean, don't have a checklist on life. Checklists aren't bad. But you know what? Holy Spirit, I have my checklist, but what's yours? And you know what? You could delete anything you want. You could add anything you want. And you know what? If there's certain ones on here that you want to highlight, I'm all for it. Isn't that a little different? It's living your life with purpose. It's living your life that goes beyond just the natural and kind of takes it up a level to the supernatural. Because the battle, the Bible says, is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities, powers, rulers. It's not just what you see. It's what's inside you that directs you to what you can't see. So So that's what I want. And that, you know what? I have to believe that there are other people here who are hungry for that, who are saying, you know, God, I'm not there. Just like Pastor, I'm not there yet, but I want to get there. I want the Holy Spirit in control. I want him to guide me, to direct me. That's what I want to do. This morning, I went longer than I had hoped. I wanted to kind of have like the worship team come up and play a worship song, and we'll just, you know, kind of bask in the presence of God. And what I want you to do is just to stand with me. And I just want to pray. I guess if I give you a really short service next week, you know, I can. Can you give me 5 minutes on this one? I'm hungry for more. I don't want a church where you just go through the motions. I want a church that changes destinies, that impacts lives. Look, I'm nervous about next week. I'm nervous about how many of you are going to be willing to stay. I'm nervous about how, and this isn't a pastor trying to guilt you or manipulate you. Those of you know me, that's not my style. Just being honest, I'm wondering in my mind, well, how many people are going to stay? How many people are going to be willing to go out? Because, you know, I look on the sheet and I got zero people signed up for picking up trash. I got some people who want to wash some cars. I think I got one or two that are willing to sign up that let me pick whatever they want. Now, I'm not saying that, so, oh, no, pastor needs to have his charts filled out. I want to be a church that impacts the lives of people. I don't want us to become a car wash where we can come in and get ourselves all clean and we leave and we come back again dirty and we wash ourselves and get ourselves all clean and we leave and come back. I want us grabbing other people that need to come clean and we're bringing them in and they're getting washed. I want next year's baptismal service. I want come June, people telling me, Pastor, we can't wait till August. We have 30 people that need to get baptized because we had so many births. And I'm sorry, Pastor, we're actually going to have 3 baptismal services because that's the only way we're going to fit them all in. That's what I want. That's what I'm hungry for. But that doesn't happen unless we allow the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and our minds and our lives. It doesn't.